Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My sermon today is, how are we to live in Christ? I think that's a good question, don't you? If you were witnessing to someone and they asked you this question, how would you answer? As a Christian, how am I supposed to live? What would you say? Be a good person. What else? Read the scripture. Be kind and loving. Okay, love your neighbor as yourselves. But the thing is, that question takes you back a little bit, doesn't it? What would you say? That deer caught in a headlight looks, isn't it? And I think that's one of the biggest things, is that we live the way we want others to live too, and we witness, we talk the same way too. One of the things our epistle lesson, I think, really deals well with this. If you notice, I have it in there as an epistle lesson every week. Anybody remember what the Greek word epsis means? Talked about it in here. It's where the word epistle comes from. Hope. All right, so all of Paul's letters that we call epistles are hope. All right, so let's look at that epistle lesson again. Now I say and testify in the Lord, but you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Gene and I talked this week. You know, you can sit and read and read and read. What would be the futility of their minds? It's a little tough to try and figure that out, isn't it? You know, do not walk in the futility of their minds. How many people do you know that are so self-centered that everything they do is all about them? Sound familiar? Okay. Do we get into that too? Yes, we all do sometimes. But there are some people that no matter what happens, they turn it into their own thing. You're talking about something happened to you, all of a sudden they're talking about them and how it happened to them. Okay? That's the futility of their own mind. Well, let's continue with this. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Moses talking to Pharaoh. Let my people go. How many times during that story in Exodus does it say, and God hardened his heart? Anybody know right off the top of their head? It's a lot. 11 times. But have we ever hardened our hearts? Sure we have. You know, as one of the things that as I teach in here, like that difference between law and gospel, okay? It is so easy to stay in the law because it's rules. All right, if I do this, then this will happen, right? Why is the gospel so hard? Yeah, I wish. It's because you've got to think and say, all right, what would Jesus want me to do? You know, or WWJD, I see that in tithes and things like that. What would Jesus do? Well, what do you think he'd do? What do you think he'd want? No matter how many times Moses talked to Pharaoh, did Pharaoh listen? Well, yeah, he did. Because twice he asked Moses to pray for him and the people of Egypt. Well, if that's the case, why didn't Pharaoh go with Moses? I mean, he's talking about pray to your God because I think he's going to do something for us. Well, he was a pagan, and the Egyptian religion was between him and God. Idolatry. Do we have idols that are between us and God? NFL football. Big football fan. Could that be an idol? Okay, I eat too much. Could that be an idol? Yes. What about drinking? Could that be an idol? It all depends on how we go to it. But folks, we know that if we ask for forgiveness, it freely comes. Okay, I always use the cross as this example because the upright part of the cross is what we receive from God. Now, what about that one on the side? What does that do? It's the conduit that flows out of us, right? To have that happen, something else has to happen. What is it? You're on the right track. We ask for forgiveness and it comes down. That's the upright. And we have to pass it on, but there's something that happens in between there. There we go. You have to accept it. You have to be able to forgive yourself. Ah, as Shakespeare would say, there's the rub. That's not easy, is it? Oh, yeah, I can't put it on the altar. You know, in my bedroom, in my first marriage, I always had a sign up in the bedroom that says, let go, let God. All right, now stop and think about that for a second. Let go, let God. Give it to God. Well, yeah, but if I give it to God, what do I got to complain about? Right? So one of the things that when we do in this, we got to remember that forgiveness is a gift from God. And it's a gift so that we can forgive ourselves. Then that forgiveness can flow out of us onto others. Because if we can't do that, if we can't forgive ourselves, how do we forgive others? Well, yeah, you can't. Well, no, you really can't. Because that forgiveness flows because you are forgiven. And if you don't forgive yourselves, are you forgiven? All right, verse 19. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Huh. But that is not the way you learned Christ. To which I respond, well, duh. But yet, isn't it true? I mean, look at this again. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Oh, man, I got this sin that I know I shouldn't do, and I ask for forgiveness, and I go right back and do it again. We all have that secret sin, don't we? Okay, we're human beings. But the thing is, don't worry about being perfect. Worry about being that 51% because then you're on the right side of dealing with it. And remember, if you did 51% this time, do 52% the next time. Don't try and be perfect in your own self because we're not capable of it. You know, God doesn't expect us to succeed. He expects us to try. And when we try, then sooner or later we will succeed. But that's a different way of looking at Christianity, isn't it? Okay? I want to be perfect. Well, because he tells us, be perfect as my Father is perfect. Because he wants us to try. But so many times as human beings, well, I tried, I didn't do it the first time, so I'm not going to do it again. You know, folks, anytime we learn something, you know, let's say you're going to learn how to whittle. Do you think that first time you whittled, it'd be great? Well, of course not. But the thing is that as you keep on working, it will get good. Now, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, the old Adam, where do we lose that old Adam? When we're baptized. But do we try and hang on to that old self? Yeah, we should. Yeah, we shouldn't, but we do. It's the same thing by giving it to God. You know, so put off your old self that belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. I like that statement. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Where does that renewal start? in us. And again, you got to grab a hold on to it. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to repeat that one again. Now listen to this. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God. We're putting on God. Okay? In true righteousness and holiness. Now there's our requirement. But is this law or is this gospel? No, I haven't said anything yet, have I? Gene and I went to lunch this week and we were talking because he had just read the Beatitudes. All right, are the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the meek for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, Beatitudes. Is that law or is it gospel? Well, again, it's lawsipal. Well, is it law? Remember, anything we're told to do and we do is law. Anything Jesus says is gospel. It's both. Can things be both? Yeah, remember last week I pulled out that coin and I showed it to you and I said on one side's law and the other side's gospel. They're all part of the same thing. All right, so the thing is, in that question, is that law or gospel? Well, it's both. What our scripture does not tell us is what we are putting on. It tells us to put on the Spirit of God, right? What is it? There we go again, that deer caught in headlight looks. All right, but Paul, I love Paul. You know, I was talking, who was I talking to this week? It wasn't Gene, it was somebody else. Anyway, Paul, okay? Oh, somebody was watching this new, I had a echocardiogram. Once every 6 months, I got to wear a heart monitor and they check my AFib. But I went in for an echocardiogram and we were talking. Anyway, there is a show, I think it's on Prime, that deals with Jesus and the apostles. It's something new. And I said, how did they show Paul? Well, Paul is this real strong figure. Paul, in the Bible, is the ugliest apostle. He even calls himself that. Okay? He's got a club foot, and he walks with a limp, and he stutters. How many times have you ever seen Paul represented by somebody who's got a limp, is ugly, and stutters? I think there's the miracle that somebody like that can go out and talk to millions of people and get his message out. If he can do that, can't we do it? You know, think about that for a second. You know, we're the ones that put the stuff in front of us and say, oh, I can't because. And Paul is saying, yeah, I can because. Either way, I can't or I can. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. All right. So let's find what Paul tells us to put on. And this is in Galatians 5. I love Galatians 5. I've talked about it a lot in here. Christ has set us free. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. All right, if you're free, why do you want to go back? If you've had things forgiven, why can't you give it to God? Don't go back to that yoke of slavery. What Paul is talking to right now is the law to the Jews, because it's Galatians. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. What is the outward sign of commitment between the Jews and God? Circumcision. All right? So if you accept that and you go do it, you're saying, all right, I'm under the law. Well, Christ has set us free from the law. Why do you want to go back in it again? There's 513 laws you got to keep. If you break any of them, you're not going to heaven. Can you keep 513 laws? Okay? Don't work on the Sabbath. Well, but my donkey fell into the well. Do I leave him there to drown? Well, but that's work, isn't it? Oh, you sinner, you. See, you can't do it. And so Christ set us free from that. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law. Justification is what? Forgiveness of sins. So, in the law, you're going to have forgiveness of sins. Is that the case? No. Yeah, this isn't in there. This is in my sermon, okay? For through the Spirit by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of our righteousness. All right, our epistle tells us we're created in the likeness of God in pure holiness and righteousness, right? Galatians 5, we eagerly, ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And again, epistle is hope, the hope of righteousness that comes to us. We're made in the likeness of righteousness and holiness. But as Galatians tells us, we wait for the hope of righteousness. Why the difference? Why hope? Because we already got it, right? Well, it's because do we reject it? Yeah. And so it's always there. It's always in front of us. We just grab it because he's freely offered it. And that's that hope. Because once we take it, we've got the hope. Let's listen a little bit more from Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. All right, you can't be a Jew because it doesn't count for anything. You can't be proud of being uncircumcised because what does that mean? All right, so what counts? Only faith working through love. I'm going to repeat that. Only faith working through love. Isn't that great? Okay. One of the things, when I was in Texas, we had a bunch of Muslims come in. And one of the great names of God is love, right? How many times in the Bible does it say God is love? Do you realize that in the Quran, love is not a name for God? And they argued with me. Well, but he shows his love. Yeah, he shows his love. Is his name love? Well, no. Well, then how can he be love if his name is not love? Good point, isn't it? You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The persuasion is not from him who calls you. He's given it to you. Why don't you take it? For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I love it when the Bible explains the Bible. Doesn't this explain what we just heard in our epistle lesson today? I think so. All right. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you should love your neighbors as ourselves. The new commandment from Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two we got to do. Boy, those are not easy, are they? Say it again, Gene. Well, actually it does. But the last thing in here in Galatians 5:15 is, I love this. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Don't be mean to each other. Be nice to each other. Now here's the instructions I was talking about. But I say walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul talks about what it means to be in the flesh, what it means in the Spirit. He tells us the desires of the flesh are first. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. It sounds like long gospel, aren't they? Because they fight against each other. Folks, remember the funny times when we see things on TV where you got a devil on one shoulder and the angel sitting on the other? You know, do it. No, don't do it. Do it. Oh, yeah. Okay? By the way, that's out of the Quran. That's not out of the Bible. But it's true. So the thing is, we got them sitting up there. Flesh and spirit. Well, yeah, but if I do the spirit, I got to work at it. It's easy to do the flesh. I just react and do it. But if we live under the Spirit, we're not under the law. Now, here's what it means to be in the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. doggone it, there's all that fun stuff. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Oh, I already did that. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you. As I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, here comes the but, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You know why I do that sermon series on the Advent wreath every year? Is talking about love, joy, peace, and hope. Aren't those good to talk about? I think so. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And then here comes the big instruction. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's envy. Okay? You know, folks, what it boils down to, it's all that stuff we learned as kids. Okay? Golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just because it's out of Proverbs, you know, but what the heck. But isn't that what Scripture tells us to do, to live in the Spirit and not live in the law? I think so. Remember the difference. Law is what we got to do. We have to do something. Gospel is what we receive. So if it comes to us, is it law or gospel? If it flows out of us, what is it? It's law, because we're doing something. Okay? But the thing is, we are not saved by law. We're saved by the gospel working on us. So when we got that devil and angels and both soldiers trying to get us to go either way, it's when it gets difficult from the Christian. And I think that's what Paul's talking about in this. It is difficult. It's not easy. Ooh, wouldn't it be fun to go out and do that? That was that idea of selling indulgences back in the Middle Ages, where Luther finally put his foot down and said, no, we're not going to do that. You can't go to a party this night and pay $1,000 and have loose women and drugs and booze and everything else, and it's not a mortal sin because you paid your money, so it wasn't. Boy, wouldn't it be fun if it actually worked that way? It doesn't. Darn it. Remember in the commercials, if it feels good, do it? 1970, here we go. Maybe we should ask those on crack cocaine if that's really true. Have you ever seen the photographs of somebody who, before he starts crack or she starts crack cocaine, and after be on it for a while, you look like you're dying even though you're alive. But friends, I love it when Scripture explains Scripture, and that's why I did my sermon this way today. Because Galatians 5 explains our epistle lesson. And if we have a goal of staying in joy, peace, love, hope, all that other, gentleness, aren't we going to do okay? I think so. Well, as I quoted that commercial, if it feels good, do it. Let's quote another one. Folks, when we're dealing with Scripture, it's in there. As followers of Christ, he wants us to live in the Spirit. But living in the Spirit, and here's where I tie everything together, begins and ends with forgiveness. Not only the forgiveness that we receive from God, but the forgiveness we give to ourselves. So when he says, you're forgiven, be forgiven. No ifs, ands, or buts, but no. Well, I'm forgiven only if, and if I do that, am I forgiven? No, you're already forgiven. It's done. Because then once that happened, forgiveness can flow out of us in that conduit and flow into others. My good Christian friends, may this love of God shown in forgiveness keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.